WTLC AM, W244DI, Indianapolis. It's time to have an important community discussion on Community Connection on AM 1310, The Light.
Welcome to Community Connection, everybody. This is Steve Jefferson from WTHR Television Eyewitness News, and I am so grateful to be your host today here on Community Connection. And we have a really, really good lineup for you today, and we want you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And we've got some great information for you today. Joining me now in studio from Indiana University, we're going to start with Dr. James Wimbush. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
All right. And we also have the one and only Joyce Rogers Esquire. Welcome to the show, Joyce.
Thank you.
And the next voice you hear will be one we all know, the one and only incomparable Mr. Lacey Johnson. Mr. Johnson, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right. They are joining me here in studio for Community Connection to talk about the Black Philanthropy Circle raising nearly $400,000 and pledging $150,000 to the Mays Family Institute on Diverse Philanthropy. And we're going to ask Dr. Wimbush to open up and tell us about this. How did this all get started?
You know, it's really an interesting story. We have a few of our alums, including Mr. Johnson, Dr. Rose Mays, and Lewis Johnson, who are on the IU Foundation Board. And at a Foundation Board meeting a couple of years ago, we were just sitting around visiting. Joyce Rogers was a part of the group. And we were all just sitting around visiting, and we were talking about how we can get more Blacks to give, but also how we can help support the Black community by increasing the number of African Americans as students, as faculty, as staff, but also addressing some of the other important issues and concerns of our community. And Lewis Jordan invited us to have a brainstorming session at his house in California. We all went to California. We spent 2.5 days of really some serious discussions about how we can contribute to the Black community while at the same time contributing to our efforts for diversity and inclusion at IU. It ended with the idea of having a philanthropy circle that is geared towards addressing the needs of the Black community to help us with the initiatives at IU, but focus on giving from the Black community.
Giving back.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we all know that this happens in other communities. So, you know, there are other people who benefit from the same type of giving. During that conversation, Joyce, were you surprised of the outcome?
Not surprised, because as James mentioned, with Lacey Johnson, Rose Mays, and Lewis Jordan, there were already major donors, not just at Indiana University, but throughout, you know, other areas of their life's work. And so they really raised a question about how we can make an impact as Blacks within the university. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that at Indiana University, we have the Women's Philanthropy Council that has raised millions of dollars focused by women. And so we thought that what we would do is come together and build upon that model that was already there.
Okay. Now, Mr. Johnson, we know that you've been in our community a long time, and you know, you quietly have supported a lot of campaigns and given back to the community. Your thoughts on this?
Well, as Joyce and Dr. Wimbush have both said, we had been giving, we meaning African Americans, to Indiana University for decades. In fact, they have a president's council, which are those who have given in their lifetime a minimum of $100,000. We in San Francisco began to talk about, we knew that there were Blacks who had done likewise. So we started to capture those. And in the looking at that, we found out that there were at that time about 14 who had given a minimum of $100,000, and we had at least two
that had given over a million. So it wasn't that we began to say, we're now going to give. We have a history of giving.
A history of giving. And this helps organize that giving?
It helps to organize it and expand it and to capture it. Because it was very important for us to capture it so we could let those at Indiana University and other institutions throughout this state and country know that African Americans are, candidly, we are the largest percentage-wise of philanthropic givers.
Right on. So, Dr. Wimbush, who are the beneficiaries? Why do this? Who's going to be on the receiving end of the giving?
So we want to make sure that the giving is impactful, that it's giving from the Black Philanthropy Circle. And so we haven't determined the specific mechanisms for giving, but we knew right offhand that we wanted to support the Mays Institute. We feel as though the Mays Institute is going to be the unit that helps us with understanding giving, particularly from diverse populations, but also will help us in being able to design programs that can help us to inform our students, inform our faculty and staff about giving. And so we knew right offhand that we wanted the first $150,000 to go to the Mays Institute to help to promote their efforts and to encourage them in their research and work about philanthropy in diverse communities.
All right. So is the giving into the circle, is it a closed circle? Are you looking for more people to give?
The more the merrier. It's $15,000 up front or $15,000 pledge over 3 years. So our initial goal was 20 participants, and we exceeded that goal in the first year. But we want it to be sustainable, so we're constantly trying to bring in more donors into the Black Philanthropy Circle.
So if I make this pledge, is it, you know, because, you know, some things have changed in Washington. So if I make this pledge, is it tax deductible?
Absolutely. It's tax deductible. But it's based upon, and we don't want to go too deep into it. So if you pledge $15,000, $5,000 a year over 3 years, each time you write that check for $5,000, that's what's tax deductible, what you actually give.
Is it hard getting people to join the circle?
Hi, can I address that?
Yes, absolutely. It's
very important that it's a Black philanthropy circle, but it's not just Blacks.
Ah.
So of our initial 20-plus founding members, four of them were Caucasians.
Say that again.
Four of the 23 were Caucasians.
So we're talking green. We're not talking Black, white.
The money is green, but the cause has an emphasis on African-American issues. And we would want to spend just a second. We, in San Francisco, we spent a lot of time thinking and talking about what the name was going to be.
Okay.
We did not want it to be some muted name. We were very specific about saying Black.
Right. Okay.
And that's our emphasis on Black causes. But that doesn't mean that they're only Blacks who support those causes.
So if you have money that's sitting around that you need to do something with, you need a write-off, this is the place to make that donation.
Absolutely.
So
it doesn't even have to be sitting around. You can just find it and make it available, Steve.
Okay. Now, from what I understand, too, that although you've started it as the Black Philanthropy Circle, you're going to go beyond that.
When you say
to other communities,
So we in our plans, we're in the process of creating the Queer Philanthropy Circle. We want to create the Latinx Philanthropy Circle, as well as the Asian American,
and First Nations,
and First Nations Native American Philanthropy Circle. We really wanted to build off of what Indiana University, as well as other efforts across the country, that realized that when you focused around philanthropy, there's much more success.
Okay. And if you have any questions, you can call in. The telephone number is 317-239-1310, 317-239-1310. So naturally, we're also looking for people outside of Indiana to donate to.
Absolutely.
You don't have to be an Indiana resident, do you?
No.
Hoosier.
We have members from all over the country.
Okay.
That are part of the Black Philanthropy Circle.
Okay.
And they're not all IU alums.
Ah, so people at Purdue.
Oh, absolutely. Too. Absolutely.
In fact, okay. Those people from Purdue are leading.
Oh, okay. Okay. So we could possibly start a little competition thing going there, right?
We would love to have a challenge from not just Purdue, Ball State, Indiana State, and any of the other schools.
Right on. So this is not profession restricted either, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
So out of the donors that you have so far, what are some of their professions? Because there may be some people thinking, I'm a doctor. I don't need to donate. I'll donate to something else.
We have attorneys. We have corporate
leaders.
We have professors. It's a wide range of
We have
of
physicians.
Occupations.
We even have students.
We have
undergraduate students that are participating at the $15,000 level.
State representatives. I mean, it just entrepreneurs. It's across the gamut.
Is there a top goal? Is there a cap at all?
There's never a cap with fundraising, Steve. So let's just start there. There are no caps. Well, our initial goal was the $300,000. But of
that
course,
$300,000 for the first year.
For the first year.
Okay.
But of course, we want it to be sustainable. So our fundraising efforts are ongoing so that as people, as we near the end of those three-year cycles, that does not end the philanthropy circle. That is continuing to grow.
Okay. So are we looking at any annual galas or fundraisers to help with this foundation money at all?
Or is probably this not galas and fundraising, but there will be invitations to join, invitation-type events, small events, helping people to learn more about the Giving Circle, and really spending time with them to understand how the Giving Circle works. We think that the research with the Mays Family Institute, as well as their goal to increase the number of non-traditional students to obtain degrees in fundraising, that would be very beneficial beyond Indiana University, but even our other nonprofit leadership and all those other areas where fundraising is very important. And we, as people of color, we represent less than 10% of leadership of nonprofit organizations. And as you know, fundraising is one of the top things that you need to be proficient in to be successful.
So if I'm looking for information, where do I go? Do I go to Facebook? Do I go to IU's website? How are you going to market this to the masses?
Well, we have it certainly on IU's website. If you go to the OVP DEMA website, diversity at iu.edu, you will certainly find more information about it. We have had a marketing campaign to talk about the Philanthropy Circle and its work, but there's certainly much more information to come.
And I wanted to say, Steve, first and foremost, thank you and WTLC for giving us this opportunity.
Absolutely.
This is the first of what we hope to be many public outreaches through media. But as always, you have taken the lead and WTLC has taken the lead again.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, let's talk about, when we get the kitty filled up, how does an organization or a foundation or someone like Mays, is there an application process for this money? Is there a screening process? How do you get vetted to take advantage of what's going to be donated?
So with the Mays Institute, that was an original goal of the $300,000 because we wanted the research to support the work. And then I'll toss the other over to Dr. Wimbush since it's in his area.
Mm-hmm. So what we will be doing is looking to identify some of the needs within the Black community, not just at IU, but throughout the Black community that contribute to us having a pipeline for students as well as a pipeline for faculty and staff. Once we identify all of those needs, we will then determine a process for distributing funds to support various initiatives. At this point, though, we are not looking to distribute funds. We're wanting to first increase the amount of funds that we have, particularly since the first $150,000 had already been committed. So we're wanting to build our funds, and then we will be working on a process for distributing the funds.
And I've got to ask this. So who's the keeper of the funds?
Indiana University Foundation.
There you
yes.
go. All right. Because that's important. People
that
want to know,
important.
You know,
yes.
if, you know, especially if they're giving large amounts, if they're giving over a period of time, they want to know, okay, so who's keeping the money?
It is the foundation.
It's the foundation. Excellent. And you all mentioned a board. Who's serving on the board? And is it an election process to the board? Is it a rotating board? What's the process?
So Mr. Johnson, out of the three of us, he actually sits on the board. And it's the process through the foundation to sit on the board. And I don't know, Mr. Johnson, if you want to talk about that a little bit.
Well, I want to be clear on which board he's talking
about. The Indiana University Foundation Board.
Because if he's talking about Indiana University Foundation Board, that is, by his charter, could be as many as 90-something. But presently, there are 50-something that serve on the Indiana University Foundation Board.
Okay.
That is a large cross-section from across the country. Almost all of them are affiliated with the university. They're either undergraduates or prior students or graduate students. The Black Philanthropy Council or Circle has a separate board. And so I don't know if that was your question about.
Yeah, I was trying to focus in on okay. that board, that particular board.
Okay. Well, it is a giving circle.
Okay.
But Dr. Wimbush and Dr. Rose May serves as co-chairs of the circle.
Okay. Okay. And then there are other board members, officers?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, so we do have other officers, but to be a part of the circle, a contribution of $15,000 paid over 3 years will certainly get you that membership.
Okay, right on.
And we really had a lot of conversation on whether or not we wanted to call it a circle versus a council. And we settled upon circles because we wanted like minds to come together around those needs to make those decisions. And so we think that that distinguishes us so that instead of there being a hierarchy when it really comes down to getting the funding out the door, that is more of a consensus type of process that we'll utilize in making that happen.
And if I could just take a quick second to talk about the giving.
Yes.
We've been focused on $15,000 during this discussion, but another beauty of it being part of the Indiana University Foundation, there you can give more than just dollars. You can give art. You can give property. Mm. You can give. There are
Absolutely.
Lots of things of value that can, one, assist us, two, assist the university, and three, and most importantly, provide you that opportunity to have the philanthropic need, if you want, and the charitable contribution.
Absolutely. Okay, so what is your dream goal as far as the impact in the community for the circle itself? I mean, you had to sit around and think, well, you know, if we can do this or we can do this and we can make this happen, what's the dream goal of the circle itself?
So, I'll say personally, as a fundraiser, you want to be pretty much, 50-60% at your goal before you're announced. We're at 100% before we announced our first goal. But I think a dream goal for the, first and foremost, it is the needs of the students. And the needs of the students are scholarships and emergency scholarships to help them to be successful and matriculate. So that dollar number is bottomless. And I'll let Dr. Wimbush, you know, talk about that. And Mr. Johnson, please weigh in on that, too, because you've been very passionate about those emergency scholarships. But we really want our students to be successful.
We do. And, of course, we have to have students in order for our students to be successful. So various recruitment initiatives, particularly pipeline initiatives that can help with the communities within Indiana to have more Black students matriculate to our university, but also retention initiatives. But we also want our students to be successful when they leave Indiana University. And so even providing opportunities for professional development, for career enhancement, all of these fall into the realm of possibilities for us.
Okay. Mr. Johnson?
My dream goal would have been, and is, for our circle, the Black Philanthropy Circle, to be the model from which others will attempt to emulate, not just in Indiana, but throughout the country. We are, I believe, when we first began, we were the first Black philanthropic circle in the nation.
Oh, wow.
And I know that we were the first to have a dedicated chair to focus on this area.
So, go ahead.
So let me speak. So, Mr. Wimbush holds that chair, and, you know, we would be remiss if we didn't say the Johnson family provided the gift to create that chair. And at Indiana University, this is the first and only, I think, to date, non-academic unit to actually hold a chair. And when you hold a chair, I'll let Dr. Wimbush talk about the chair.
So a chair is something that is very special, particularly for academics. I'm a professor within the Kelley School of Business, and for professors to be the holder of a chair provides a high level of distinction. It speaks to your ability to do research. It speaks to your ability to contribute to not just Indiana University, but to the academy. This is the first time we've had a chair outside of one of the academic units. And what this says is that for the diversity work at Indiana University, it values having individuals who are trained in the academy, but also who are focused on the work of diversity and inclusion for the institution. And so this is a very big deal, and I'm very honored to be the holder of the chair, but also I'm very grateful to the Johnson family for making it possible.
All right.
I also will add, too, that, you know, it's endowed. So that means that that chair will be there in perpetuity. And quickly, I want to say that those are the goals for the Mays Institute. And hopefully, you know, you'll have them on to talk more in depth about the Mays Institute, is to endow the Institute so that it is there focused on non-traditional communities around philanthropy.
All right. Fantastic. We're going to take a pause. We're going to take a break. This is Steve Jefferson hosting Community Connection. We'll be back right after this break.
Join the movement to make Indy a better place and sound off on the issues that matter most to you at 239-1310. It's AM 1310, The Light.
Welcome back to Community Connection. This is Steve Jefferson from WTHR Television hosting today's show, and we have had two vice presidents from Indiana University, Dr. James Wimbush and the lovely Joyce Rogers, talking about the Black Philanthropy Circle, and along with Mr. Lacey Johnson. And we're going to wrap up this half hour of the show, and I'm going to turn it over to them to give us some closing remarks, and also talk about where you would like to go from here for the circle.
Well, I'll start by saying that the circle really does a number of things that are very important for the community, for the university, and for the Black community. in terms of the community, it certainly helps us identify initiatives that we might be able to address going forward to help us with recruitment, retention, all the things that we've talked about. It certainly helps the university because it's bringing in new donors while at the same time it's addressing very important needs. Many people are aware that diversity and inclusion at institutions throughout the country is being challenged. There are many individuals who question the value of our work. Being able to demonstrate our work through how we support and distribute the funds from the Black Philanthropy Circle, but more importantly, I think, being able to demonstrate that we're actually bringing in money to help some of the initiatives that are important to us helps with us being able to show the university that we are serious about our work, but also that black people do in fact give. And so we think that this will serve a number of purposes for us, and we couldn't be more excited.
Awesome.
So I'll just say that people of color have been left out of the narrative when it comes to philanthropy for centuries. And so while it seems to be an uptick, as Mr. Johnson stated earlier, we have always given. But we need to think about and learn more about formal givings because we want our giving to count in formal ways and dispel of the stereotypes that are out there. Underserved populations give a large share of their disposable income. And the only way to continue to dispel those horrible stereotypes out there about our giving is to give our time, give our talent, and to give our treasure and to learn more about doing it in a more formal way.
All right. Thank you. And Mr. Johnson, you have any challenges out there you want to give to those who are listening and their colleagues and other presidents and CEOs and people with deep pockets?
I want to issue a challenge, not just to those with deep pockets. We all have the ability to give. And I would like for those of the other state institutions, universities, and higher educations, especially my alma mater, Purdue, to reach out, dig down deep, and to do something. We also have Indiana State, Ball State, Notre Dame, and we have our other institutions. I'd like also to reach out to James, Dr. Wimbush, and Joyce, and make sure that there is some type of mechanism that those who want to give something that is lesser than the $5,000 a year, we should be willing to take any and all gifts and any and all challenges. And Steve, thank you again.
All right. Thank you for joining us on Community Connection. We'll be right back.